Well, praise God, this Resurrection Sunday, the church world talks about this day as resurrection, but one of the things we need to understand is about the resurrection. We can believe in the resurrection, we can say it's true, but what does it benefit us? This is one of the whole things, and if it benefits us in some way, what is it? How do we appropriate it? What do we do? This is one of the great things. There's many people, we go worldwide, there's many people believe, yes, Jesus, and they believe, and they talk about, well, his death on the cross, and we talk about those things, and we talk about his resurrection. But many people have no benefit from it whatsoever. There's things that we all have to do. I've been teaching a series, and it's called, you know, Knowledge That Overcomes. In other words, there's things you have to know. We want to look at this. We used a scripture in opening about this, and we use it from Hosea, the 4th chapter and verse 6. And there's some things mentioned here. Really, we're looking at three different classes of people when you understand this about knowledge. Because it opens up and it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It starts up in verse 6. So my people are destroyed because of what they don't know. So in other words, there's somebody that doesn't know something. There's people who don't know. And so they need to be taught. They need to come somehow into revelation. Then he makes this statement, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest for me. So in other words, there are people who hear knowledge and they hear things, but they don't accept it. I know this. I know I teach things from the scriptures, and other Christians say, you know, well, we don't believe that. They don't believe it's true. That's not for us. Well, if it's not, you know, the Bible's not a place we go pick and choose what we like. What we do, when you do that, you develop God in your image. You're worshiping you. You're worshiping your knowledge, what you think is true. Well, I gave up on my knowledge wasn't good. I lived 30 years under my knowledge. Didn't work out well. It just didn't turn out good. And so I decided I needed to have something different. I definitely needed something different. And so we need to understand this. Then he makes this statement. He says, because you have forgotten the law, he said, of God, or we could say the knowledge of God, I also will forget your children. In other words, somebody knows it. Somebody was doing it, and they left it. So really, we're looking at three types of people here concerning knowledge. And so we find that really this falls into the category, we all fall into some place or other concerning knowledge. But there's one thing about when you gain knowledge in an area, it's always good to maintain that knowledge. God has established in his kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom, but we need to understand this. The laws of God's kingdom dominate from the spirit realm and the natural realm. We need to understand that. Its effect. And in this realm that we live here in the natural realm, if we disobey the laws of the Spirit, it will have great effect in our natural realm. This is why today we have so much, there's so much chaos and things and going on in people. You can't rebel against knowledge and rebel against it and have peace. We found out that grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God. You're not going to have peace in this world as long as men decide they want to make up their own gods and do their own things. There will not be peace. Forget it. You know, we've seen more peace. Look, I've been on this earth now 75 years. And I want to tell you, I've seen 490,000 peace conferences. And people can be yelling for peace all they want. But most of the time, the people yelling for peace are why there is no peace. Because they don't follow knowledge. They follow their own knowledge. They don't follow the knowledge of God. So you can't have it. Number one, I found this out. The Bible teaches me that no matter what the chaos is in this world, I can have peace. I can. I don't have to let everything that goes on every place else dominate my life. See, this is one of the things is, you know, people watch and see too much today because it dominates their life and they're on edge all the time. They're worried about all this stuff. It's like, you know, we're in the information age. I think it's more like the stupid news age. Because most of what we hear and pick up, it ain't even true. But it dominates what goes on. The news media makes hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year promoting things that get you to watch it even though it hurts you. It does. They aren't interested in that. They have stockholders. That if they make money, and those people keep their money there, they make money, man. This, I understand it's about money. The bottom line is all that. If they really cared about you, they wouldn't say a lot of things that they say. Let's just be honest. We live in a world that's geared in a system. God has a system, and I found it. God has a system that I can prosper. God has a system for me to be blessed, that I don't have to lie, cheat, and steal. I don't have to take advantage of you to have money. I don't have to do that. I don't have to try to preach sermons to get my hand in your pocket. God has a system for all of us to be blessed. And when I found that thing out, I found, man, this is a good thing. Well, I found it was for my health and everything. God had a system of health. The world fights over this health system, and it's costing us a fortune, and health ain't getting better for people. I mean, we're finding here in the United States, longevity of life, they're gonna give you a pill, you're gonna live longer. Well, when's it gonna happen? Because people are living, you know, ever since COVID, it's been dropping. Life expectancy in America has been dropping. Well, man, all this money, we spend billions and billions a year in our nation on health system, and people are more sick and more sick and more stuff going on and that stuff. I mean, there's more people. I mean, when I was a kid, you didn't see a whole lot of the older people ever working, walking around with walkers and different stuff like that. They were out walking around. My parents would take us to relatives and that stuff in their 80s and 90s, and they were up doing stuff. Today, 60s, and you know, there's not enough handicapped parking spaces for them in the Walmart parking lot. They need 400 of them for all the people out there. And I'm serious. I mean, I go around. This is going on. Doesn't that trouble you?
Yep.
All of our people don't. Well, number one, our knowledge must not be good if this goes on. People don't know what they're talking about who say they know what they're talking about. Experts are more spurts than they are expert. And we need to get a hold of this. If my knowledge is worthless, if it doesn't work, what good is Jesus' resurrection and all that the scripture tells us and the promises of blessing it is, if it doesn't work for me? What good is it? I don't need another nice read. I don't need one. I want knowledge that works. And so this is one of the things is that I think is a lot of the disappointment today among people. Many people are educated above their intelligence today. They've been told, people think they're so smart. But we want to look at an area today because of dealing with knowledge. You need knowledge of things. That's number one that you need. You need knowledge about stuff, but you got to find out knowledge. You don't need to weigh knowledge against one another, not because somebody says it. If I took over the years, you know, I've always been interested in different things about new technology over the years, and I read about things, but I found out this is a truth. Get it. 95% of things that you will read about of new technology in 5 years, you'll never see it or hear about it again. It never works. They always tell you promising they're coming up with this new thing, and it's, oh yeah, they found this wonderful thing out, and it's really great, and they're doing this, and you'll hear them talk about it for maybe 6 or 7 months, and it fades into the distance, and it never comes back again. I mean, I've seen it so many times. I've watched this stuff. You know, somebody came up and said this was really good. Well, one of the things you want to find out if something works. If you practice something, I've learned this. If I want to learn something that works, a good thing to do is look at a person who you look at and they're doing what you want to do, but they're making it work. You would sure want to find out what they're doing. I'm not interested in some guy's book if it's just a book. See, does he really do this? Does it work for him? I want to know if it works, you know. If I wanted to learn something, I remember years ago I got into photography, and I got in for a while with selling pictures and stuff and doing things, and it was fun for me to do and that stuff, but I learned things about, and I found out that the things you needed to know. But one of the things that I did, I read this guy made a statement. I was reading an article, and he said, if you want to learn to take good pictures, he said, you look at people who take good pictures, and you look at their stuff, the ones that you like, and with the type of photography you want to do. There's all kind of stuff. You know, I don't go for portrait photography. I don't like wedding. I did weddings one time for a person, and I was done with that. Boy, I was over. I said, this is nonsense. But anyhow, you know, some people do that, make livings, have a good time. I didn't want to be there. But anyhow, you know, there's different things I wanted to learn. But I found out by looking at what people who did good photography, then I did this. Find out what they know. People go to colleges today, spend fortunes, spend 10, 15 years trying to pay off college bills, sitting, listening to people who never even ever worked in the field they teach. See, you've heard me talk, we're in an informational society, and all we got is information, and we're lacking one major big thing, and that's this, wisdom. There's no wise among us. Wisdom. And we want to talk about that today, because number one, understand this to start off, you need to have knowledge before you can ever come to wisdom. So you need to get knowledge. You need to get knowledge because you can't have wisdom without first getting knowledge. You have to have knowledge of something. Wisdom is the ability, and this is what wisdom is. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and put it to work and being able to do it. In other words, your knowledge performs for you. If your knowledge don't perform for you, if you can't do it, doesn't matter how much you know. I always use the illustration, many years ago, I worked with a guy he would read all these books and tech books on engines and cars and all that kind of stuff. He was full of knowledge. To one day I found out about him, he didn't know a thing about working on cars. Well, all that was just worthless knowledge. He had all this information, but no wisdom of what to do with it or how to apply it. Now, I found this over the years. He wasn't strange at all. I found many people were in this category. When I was in the service, I was in a microwave systems technician. They had trained us. We went to school, and I attended a numbers of different schools and stuff to go through. We were considered at that time was at the top of electronics. Today, what we knew don't mean nothing to what they do today. But anyhow, at that time, you know, they considered us, we were the smart people. But one of the things I found is we had guys who worked for companies who were these tech companies that would build radios, build all kind of stuff and things for the government, for military, and they would come out. When I was in Nam, you know, we'd have problems with equipment or things would go wrong, and we would have certain difficulties. Sometimes you find out new equipment comes in. What happens? It's just like, you know, new cars. Don't buy the first year, you know. You're the guinea pig till they work the bugs out of it, and you're stuck with that piece of junk. Anyhow, I found this. These tech guys would come in from the company. And what really surprised me, they knew more information than me, but I found this out. I was much better at fixing equipment than they were. I was much better at it. And I found out most of our guys were. Most of them were all better. They had all the information. We worked on the equipment all the time. We had knowledge. We found out what things in their equipment they build. They didn't even know about it. We had to tell them. Why? Because we worked on it and found out things. We found out. Why? Because we had the wisdom to do it. They couldn't have the wisdom because they were never working on them. They were just coming around with their knowledge all the time. You know, these guys were paid, like back at that time, these guys were paid $150,000 a year back then. They're coming in. In my year in Vietnam, I made $3,600. I mean, and these guys are coming in. Me and another guy actually wrote a tech book of how to repair one of the radios Collins Corporation bid. Collins Corporation sent the things out and didn't even have repair books. They didn't know what to do with it. And we had their tech guys come in and they didn't know. So me and another guy sat down and figured out we wrote a tech book for the Army for the repair. Why? See, I found it's who can do something. I don't care what you know. If you can't do it, keep it shut. Can't do it, keep it shut. It doesn't matter what you know. Success is being able to use what you know. Anybody who's successful has knowledge that they can do that makes them successful. Having knowledge in itself, the only thing that that does for you, it'll make you a teacher in a school or a college. That's all they do. Why? They can't go out into the world. They can't do it. All they do is pass information on. We're not just trying to pass information on to people. We want people to have wisdom. How to apply, and it's very important. We find out in James, James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives it liberally. God will give you wisdom on what to do or how to do things. Naturally, I have done it naturally. Had situations and things. I knew stuff about something, but I really didn't know what to do about how to correct a situation or do something, to fix something. I've had this thing, I got this thing, you know, certain areas you can get good at working with God, you get used to and you know how to do things. I found out how to fix stuff and repair stuff of getting God to give me wisdom and asking how, what to do about it. I've had a problem with things. Lord, how does this thing work? I want to know. What do I need to know? It was amazing. Back many years ago when he used to have the old VCRs, I learned how to repair VCRs. And when I learned about VCR, well, first of all, I didn't get afraid. I thought, I'm going to have to open one and look at this thing. You know, somebody had one and theirs didn't work and they said, they were going to buy another one. I said, let me see it. So I took it and I ended up fixing it. But you know, looking and having wisdom to do it. Wisdom. It doesn't matter about just knowing things. I could sit down and read articles about VCRs, but actually fix them. And I fixed a number of people over the years that fixed their VCRs back in those days. They'd go bad and I'd fix things on them. And you know, I didn't go to school or anything, but there's certain things I knew electronically that worked. But ask God. He gives wisdom. I didn't know things. And all of a sudden, I would know how things to work. I mean, today, I mean, I still do it. It isn't that I'm just this genius. All of a sudden, I'll just say, Lord, what about such and such? And all of a sudden, I know. All of a sudden, I'll know what to do to fix something. Just comes to me and do this. It'll take care of that. See, it's a wonderful thing. You know? You get over it. We don't operate. What God did for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church don't live in the knowledge of it. We don't live in the knowledge of it today. We don't live in this place. Number one, how do I apply knowledge? And this is really important of how you apply it, because if knowledge is not applied, this can't be applied. Look in Proverbs, the first chapter, what it says about wisdom. If you don't have it, what it does, or you reject it, what it does. See, Israel knew all about God. They knew all about the temple. They knew all about this stuff and the worship of God. This is what about wisdom. God wants to give people wisdom. God wants people to have a good life. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you and I to want. Now, in verse 20 of Proverbs, the first chapter. Now, this is Proverbs is called the Book of Wisdom. You know what? It's wise because it tells you how, you know, to do and don't do. It starts off and says wisdom. In other words, this is about wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn on my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Now, we're going to stop at that point. In other words, the wisdom is easy to get. It's not hard. It says it's calling out. Wisdom's calling out all the time. Wisdom is calling out. Wisdom's it went as far as saying this, if you turn at my rebuke, I'll pour my spirit on you. You see, it's one of the things I learned is, I learned I can have a spirit of wisdom. Now, you need to understand this, to have that spirit of wisdom, you're going to have to pay attention to wisdom. Not how you want to do things, but how to use the knowledge you have to do what is right, follow God, to do what God says. It'll bless you. Wisdom, something that will cling to you if you keep yielding to it. I learned this many years ago. To being wise, you know, there's people in this world that are wise. You know, I know why a lot of these people hate Elon Musk. It's because he's got wisdom. He don't sit around. He got all kind of knowledge, but he knows how to do things. Boy, does that make people mad. You don't make people mad. You really know how to do something going on. Everybody get mad. They want your money. You should, you know, they ought to have your stuff. They're dumb as a stick, but they want everything that it takes wisdom to get. They want the guy that's wise to have to give everything to them while they sit stupid. You see, you want to be wise. See, he's wise in natural things. He's very wise. He's smart, but he does things. You need to understand this. Today, our society's turned completely opposite. It's how to succeed and do nothing. I'm sorry, you can't get God involved in that. God will say, look at the ant, you sluggard. That's what God says. God doesn't believe in making people wealthy doing nothing. Just like today, everybody wants to retire early and all that stuff. I want to live and do nothing and have all kind of money and I want to have all this. And I want the government to do this for me. I want this. Yeah. A nation can't go like that because God can't help a nation like that. That's outside his spiritual laws. That's outside his spiritual. See, if you're going to go to heaven, you think you're just going to go up there and you're going to just play a harp and sit on a cloud somewhere. I'm sorry. Our earth is a picture concerning what heaven. Our earth is about what exists in heaven. Why would God say he wanted his will done on earth like it is in heaven if it's two great extremes? Heaven's in its perfection, but he wants a little bit more perfection down here. But he can't live it, have it, and do it as long as people live like hell. As long as people rebelling against him all the time. Rebelling against, but yet want his blessing. That's why we see those same people look at other people who succeed and think you ought to give me your stuff. The government ought to take it from you and give it to me. See, we live in that thing. This is why it separates from us, because there's no wisdom in that. God's kingdom doesn't operate that way. God doesn't do that. See, we need to have wisdom of how to apply. See, God has made it so everybody can succeed. But you're going to have to follow certain principles to do it. Do you ever think about any place that I ever worked in my life, worked in numbers of different places, and even in the service, there's one thing that you had. When you were there, there was rules that you had to follow in there. And, you know, I found this out. Like, when I went in the service, I was promoted very, very quickly. I was only in the service 2 years. I was actually a three-year hitch for... You go in, at that time you list, you actually had 6 years. Mine was 3 years, and then you had 3 years. At that time they said it was going to be reserves, and then you were in reserves, but you do a 6 year, actually it was for 6 years when you came out. But, when I was in 2 years and 7 months, and I got a 5 month drop because when I came back from Vietnam, you had less than 5 months left. They just took you out of active duty. So, doing that, you know, you come out, you have this hitch, but they had laws and rules. And I found out how you get promoted fast. Now, number one, see, I was interested. I wanted to make money. You didn't make much in the service. I mean, when I first went in, I was paid $89 a month. Man, we were into bucks. I'm going to tell you, we were just money people. You people sit around crying today, say, I'm in the service and I only make $60,000. I feel really bad for you. You know, go cry to me about that. So I want to make, but I found this out. That the more schooling you took and in different things and got better in, they'd automatically promote you. All these other guys, they were like, no, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to. I'd say, I'll take it. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a school for washing trucks. I'll take it. But I found this up. I got promoted. I mean, I was in the service for about a year and a half and made it to E5. I met guys in the Air Force when I was a nob, and they had been 15 years in the service and had just made E5. Well, you see, you find the system and how it works. I found out things that worked. So you just did things that would get promotion. Every time I'd get a school, I'd get another promotion. And these other people be mad as crazy. How come he keeps getting it? They do nothing, but they want what I got. Sounds like America today, don't it? Why aren't you giving me your money? Why aren't you doing this for me? Why aren't you doing that? That's the way people do. No, you find out what it takes. You know, I didn't do anything to cheat or anything like that. I just found out you took schools and you did that. And so, but you found out with this. Every time I was promoted, I had more responsibility. Now, that's another thing people don't like today. You understand this with God. You want God's knowledge. You want His wisdom. You want more? If you're not taking responsibility for what you have, He will not promote you. He won't. He won't promote you. You can't get promoted by not applying. But if you apply, there's always more responsibility. But I found this is, I don't mind responsibility. If I have knowledge and the wisdom to do it, hey, no sweat. See, people all today say, I don't want to be in charge. Do you ever notice the people in charge always make the money? I'll take in charge. That's the way it works. Everybody wants, I just don't believe people. No, nobody wants responsibility, but they want all the money. Well, I learned this, that the people, watch around, how does it work? Where do those principles come from? They didn't come from man. They're spiritual principles. Money follows the guy. I don't care if you don't like the guy in charge. He's in charge. He's going to make more money than you do. What do you want to do? That's up to you. See, I found out with God, to move ahead spiritually, to succeed, requires knowledge and wisdom. You apply the knowledge that you get. It promotes you. See, I found out when I got born again and I found out, the more I gained knowledge and the wisdom to apply it, the more it promoted me in life. It worked here. It worked right here in this place. Right here. You can pray for God's will to happen on this earth like in heaven, but you don't cooperate with His word. It won't happen. His word's His will. You must apply it, take it, and you know what? You can have the blessing of heaven show up in your life right here. See, is the ideas today is somebody else is supposed to come and give all, if I could just have this or I could just get that. Something you don't have the knowledge to obtain, you will not have the knowledge to maintain. You get that? Do you understand that? This is what people today, in Pennsylvania, some years back, there was a show they did on TV, about people who win big lotteries in Pennsylvania. And almost every one of them was broke. Person was broke after a few years. Why? They obtained something they didn't know how to maintain. They were not good at money. They just want it. What a monkey could do, they got. And the monkeys didn't know how to maintain it. And what happened? They lost it all. They ended up blowing it on things, doing stuff and things like that. And they ended up, some of them were worse off because they had good jobs and they left their jobs and they didn't know how to take care of the money and now they got a good job. So they ended up worse off. See, whatever you obtain, you need the wisdom and knowledge to maintain. Years ago, I was looking at two cars. I was looking at a BMW and a Jaguar. This is back many years ago. That I was looking at, and I was considering buying the Jaguar. It was an XKE, and had the six-cylinder overhead cams and stuff and things on it. At that time, they didn't have the fuel injection like they have today on the cars, but it was six carbs on the thing, you know, and which means that it takes work to keep this thing running right. But anyhow, now you got to understand this. This is way back yonder. And I asked at that time, I said, what does it take for a tune-up on this? And they said, oh, about $1,500. I mean, back yonder, I could have bought the car for about five. And I said, no, I'm buying the BMW. Thank you. I'll just be taking that. Well, I didn't want to have to make $1,500 more. Cause you ain't get, I had enough sense to know this. It ain't going to be messing with those six cars. No, that, I know what my one brother had bought a Porsche, and he bought it back from Germany. It was a model they didn't sell here, and the engine in it, that one, it had the flat six in it with six carbs on it, and all the trouble it took to synchronize those carburetors so they worked right. I mean, the car would go like crazy, but it took a lot of work to make it go like crazy. And it's like, this is not a drivable car, you know. Oh, it's worth a lot of money, but it's not a drivable car. It's not the one you just go have fun with whenever you want to not jump in it and go somewhere. You didn't do that with that thing. You know, don't be surprised you're sitting along the road somewhere and you're going... It's like, could you get those carbs working right? I don't know. What happened there? But see, I hope you're getting along with what I'm talking to you about. See, when Jesus was raised from the dead, many people talk about, wow, it's a great thing. How great is it to your life? How great is it to your life? Many people today, they'll go to churches, they'll talk about Jesus' record, they'll say, oh, he forgave us our sin. Well, what's the byproduct of forgiven sin? Well, sin, according to the scriptures, all the bad stuff is going on in the earth because of sin that goes on. When Adam and Eve sinned, everything turned ugly. I mean, just think about it. Less than about 1700 years, God floods the earth because man got so bad. Sin's pretty ugly. Sin's pretty ugly. Well, people say, I got forgiven of sin. But it seems sin caused byproducts of things to happen in the earth. Well, if we have forgiveness of sin, then in our lives, it should produce good things of not having this sin dominating. So if sin dominates, you're still going to have all the bad stuff happening in your life. If sin still rules over me, I cannot expect that it will not show up in my life with problems and different things going on and happening. I mean, the biblical history. We don't have many wise today, even in the Bible. You know what? I mean, if I can see this stuff in the Bible, it is beyond me why more people don't see it. But they don't. We have people that are highly educated, far beyond me. But they have no wisdom. They can't see things. They can't see things how they work. See, I find all along my education in itself, we talk about today, success. Education. If you want to succeed, you need a college education. Man, I want college people right in charge today, I'll tell you. My God. If education made success, we wouldn't have all this nuttiness going on. We wouldn't have $36 trillion worth of debt. Understand this, everybody in Washington is educated. Every down there has college degrees. Working great, isn't it? Aren't we glad we paid for their degrees? Aren't you glad they took your tax money and put idiots over us and we voted for them? I'm going to tell you what. Here's the book of wisdom. If you don't understand this book, true wisdom will always be something you're reaching out for, trying to get, but never reaching. Because God is a God of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And when men search God, men look to God, wisdom comes. If you want to overcome in life, overcoming isn't just having a bunch of money in your pocket, this, that. I'll tell you, there's one thing that I loved about Christian. When I got born again, I had a peace and rest in life that I never had. I lived 30 years on the edge. I lived 30 years. And it was nothing but push and shove for me, and it was nothing but, you know, you end up an alcoholic and doing drugs and stuff and things. You're doing your best to have a good time. I don't have to have alcohol or drugs. I don't have to do that to have a good time. I can have a good time. Right. I've come to a place in life. You know, I've had people tell me, well, you know, drinking, well, you can drink because you can have, it relaxes me and I have fun. What's wrong with you? You're a Christian. You should be relaxed. You're a Christian. You should be able to have fun. You shouldn't need a sedative to be all right. So something's wrong. I'm not knocking people. There's something wrong, but nobody's giving the end. Nobody's saying, hey, our knowledge is messed up. Our knowledge is messed up. The first thing, God didn't give Adam a drink in the garden. so he could have a good time. What is wrong? What is wrong? See, we don't deal with ourselves. We don't deal with what we have. I have to have this or to do this to have a good time. But it's taken away from me and I can no longer have a good time. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that I lose my peace? What's wrong with me when it's attached to something other than? Look, I'm not knocking anybody. I lived that life. I lived like that. And even as a Christian, starting off, I had to learn to take up a different life. All that Jesus did for me, I didn't find out about it overnight. I'm still learning about it. It takes time. But I will tell you what, it's a great blessing and a help. I'm in a place today that I actually can say this. I never dreamed when I wasn't a Christian that I would be where I'm at today in my rest and thinking in life. I would have never considered even a thought in my mind that I would be where I'm at today. Because man, all I could see is I had to have this, I had to that, this was this, and this is driving this, and that, and everything, nothing was working. I needed changed. Everybody today wants a different government without changed people. You can't have it. You must change. You can never have, if you don't change, and I say this all the time, if you can't change the way a person thinks, you cannot change them. You can send them as many psychiatrists and go through as many things and programs and stuff, but you must change the way. I found this out. I needed to take on a whole new knowledge about life. That's what I had to do. Then I had to be able to take that knowledge and put it to work. I need the wisdom to apply it. And you need to know that, what you're going to do. Let me just say this. I want to, just in closing, the Lord had spoke to me about using this, about wisdom. Now, we preach and teach here, you know, divine healing. If God wants to heal, God wants people well. I mean, if anything, God is in the health business, and he has to, or he's a lousy God. He ain't good. You know, we want our, do I love people more than God does that I would want people well, but he wants them sick? You know, people are, you know, God's in control and this and all that kind of, well, if he's in control, I just had a thing with that. The guy saying God was in control. And I said, yeah, I said, he's sure made a mess of things, hasn't he? I said, you think he's in control of all this out here? I said, well, he seems like he's the problem. See, I was born and raised in that type of church. That's why I left Christianity, because I thought they were nuts. And I was right. They were. They were nuts. God is in control is lazy Christianity. It's no different than the people in our today. The government's in control. No, they're not. The government ain't in control of me. Your thinking like that is why they control you, because they control your thinking. They already, everybody's worried about the Antichrist. Don't worry about it. The people are already controlled because they think they are. And if you think you are, that's what you are.
That's right.
I'm not controlled. I have a choice. I have a choice. I can make, and you know what? I don't fear worry about what they're doing. I don't look in that direction. So if you don't think like that, they'll put you in jail. So what? I'll still be in control. Not them. They're not going to control my thought. And when I can trust God in any situation, no matter what it is. God will still take care of it. God will still look after me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. Now, I wondered about this wisdom thing. See, I was gaining knowledge. One of the false teachings that is put in the church, and I say false for this purpose, it's overblown up on one side, and that's the area of believing. We have this idea in Christianity that if I believe the word's true, then that it's going to work for me. You can have all the knowledge you want, and it don't work. You have to be able to apply it. See, we want to... I've heard thousands and thousands of times ministers say to people, you know, well, just keep believing God. You believe the word. Just keep believing the word. That's not the problem with the person. The person's not applying the wisdom of that word. I've learned this is why most Christians have difficulty with divine healing, and especially in the area, get a miraculous something to take place. I found out how to make the miraculous come quickly. I found out how to do it. and I didn't find it out from my wisdom. What I did is I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. When I first started off as a Christian, in fact, I was only a few months old. I, you know, found out his stuff. I got some of his books and his tapes on faith and started listening to them about how faith works, what it is, blind faith. Well, you know what? I gained a lot. Actually, in my first few months of Christianity, I gained quite a bit of knowledge. And this is not bragging on me. I is amazed what I knew toward people who had been born again around me for many years. In a couple months, I knew a lot more than they did about what the Bible said about things. And I gained knowledge. But I always listen to this. Kenneth Hagin would make this statement all the time. He would say, talk about acting on the Word. He would talk about acting on the Word of God. And I listened to that. And he would teach on faith, but he said, you got to act on it. And I thought, to me, I don't know, maybe somebody registered quick. I just thought, what does he mean to act on it? What do I do to act on it? What do I do to act on the Word? Well, sometimes in acting on the Word, see, you can believe something and you never put it to use. The first thing you're going to have to do is what we find from a scriptural standpoint when a person, like we teach people to get born again. Well, you know, just believe on Jesus. I've heard more people say, just believe. I'm sorry, you don't get saved just believing in Jesus. That's knowledge. How do I apply that knowledge? The Bible tells me the wisdom to get saved, what I have to do. Does it say believing is made unto salvation? Huh. I'm sorry, that's what's taught mostly. That's wrong. Believing is part of it, but confession is made unto salvation. Confession. In other words, that's applied wisdom to the knowledge of what your belief is. That's applied wisdom. The Bible tells us what we have to do. If you want to be saved, you've got to first this. What are you supposed to believe? I believe Jesus died on the cross and that. Does it say that? No. See, we have our made up wisdom. Now, I do believe Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says it. But it says, why? You need to believe God raised him from the dead. Because if he just died and he wasn't raised, it's an impossibility for you to be saved. He had to be raised. The most important thing you can ever believe about Jesus is that he's raised from the dead and the fact that he's Lord. This is scriptural. This is what the Bible says. So in other words, knowledge. Now, what do I do that? It tells me with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm supposed to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and then I am supposed to confess Jesus as my Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. And there's another piece of wisdom that is left out that is hardly ever preached by anybody. You should say, as soon as you're done, thank God I'm saved because I just did what the scripture said. If I do that to get saved, you need to learn to declare. We don't tell people to declare they're saved. And you know what? They walk around wondering if it worked. No. Your mouth's going to determine. See, if you know, according to your mouth, what you say, you know, death, life and death are in the power of the tongue, the Bible says. And the those who love it eat its fruit, either one. Some people I know love death because that's all they talk is death stuff. They're always talking negative. There's always talk. They love the death stuff. No, I like the life stuff. The life stuff. I never found a person ever ask me, they wonder if they're saved or not, and they have been walking around saying they're saved. No, you walk around and say, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, that's what I say. Say, I'm born again. I did what the Bible said, so therefore I must be saved. Because the Bible said if I did that, I'd be saved, so therefore I'm saved. You know? You know, it's like a guy standing in front of, and swears, you know, he wants to become a citizen of the United States, and stands there and swears to the thing that they tell him to, and then walks out, and he goes, I wonder if I am really a citizen. I don't know. I wonder. I didn't get goosebumps when it happened. Well, I must not. I don't have the feeling. I thought if I got to be a citizen, I would feel different. See, we want to walk in a different knowledge than faith. We have a different wisdom than faith. Faith has a wisdom to it and how it operates. Well, I wanted wisdom. I kept asking God, what does Kenneth, I would say, Lord, what do you mean? Was this Kenneth Hagin? He says, act on the Word. What does he mean by it? What does he mean? Acting. And this is what took place. That time I was working many years ago at H.B. Reese Candy, you know, and this goes back, this took place in 1980. In January 1980, I got saved. This took place probably around March. That year. So I've only been saved a real short period of time. But I learned pretty much concerning the years of healing. And I've told this story many times. It's one of the things is I'm telling you this again and again, and the Lord told me to do this, to say this thing over and over. Many people know I told the story, but they don't have the, most people never get the revelation of the story. I'm telling you, the wisdom is what I did, is what God showed me to do about the Word. Not just believing what the Word says, because the Lord said this to me. I woke up that morning, and I had one of those things that, like in my stomach, I didn't feel like I was going to throw up or anything, but I had severe stomach cramps. I mean, just, it was bad. I woke up, I would get up 5:30 in the morning. I worked as first shift. I wake up 5:30 in the morning, go to work. And I just like, ugh. And I didn't say anything, but I'm laying there in bed and I'm thinking this. You know, I know what Matthew said, you know, Matthew tells us that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, but I specifically took concerning 1 Peter 2:24 about him taking our sins on the cross, but the fact that by his stripes I was healed. And I just, that came to me. By his stripes I was healed. Didn't say I was going to be healed, it said I was. That's what it says. It says you were healed. Didn't say I was going to, it says you were. Well, then you're going to have to act. Well, one thing, I'm laying there, and this thought went through my mind. I'm going to call off work. See, remember, I had asked God to show me something. And I'm going to find out, you're going to know this. Some of you, and you've done this numbers of times, you've asked God to understand something, and he told you, but that ain't what you practice. Because he tried to show you, and it was different than the way you thought. And you wouldn't listen to it. And I'm just going to tell you. Because this thought went through my mind. I'm laying there in the bed. And I could, to me, this is just like it happened yesterday. It's just like this took place yesterday. Well, it didn't take place yesterday. But I can remember, the thought went through my mind, I'm going to call off work and I'll just believe God. And inside of me, not some big voice in the room, inside of me, it came up out of me, if you call off work, you're going to lay in bed sick all day. Well, that ain't exactly what I want to do. You see, because I'm believing. See, I think this believing in itself is going to really produce something. Found out it's not going to produce anything. Then that voice said to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Well, you know, I guess sure got to defend myself. And so I wanted to just show God how smart I was. I quoted it to him. I'm laying there. Wanda's laying in a bed beside me asleep. She ain't even awake. I'm laying over here, and I just, slightly under my breath, I just quoted 1 Peter 2:24, and the last part, by his stripes I'm healed. And then this voice said to me, well, if you believe you're healed, then get up out of bed and act like it. God wasn't being mean to me. I ask wisdom. He's going to teach me wisdom. Acting like what we believe is true. What you believe is worthless if you're not acting like it's true. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions, dead. What he was trying to show me, the wisdom of acting like the word is true. You see, I can believe what it says all I want. It only produces if I act on it. Well, you know what? I got up out of bed and I, you know, well, it's just everything changed. No, that's a lie. Nothing changed. It didn't seem like anything changed. But I got out of bed because number one, I'm obeying what's going on. There was a wisdom given to me and I thought, okay. You see, I'm going to prove something out. You'll never prove it out. Not doing it. You'll never prove it. This is the wisdom. Wisdom is what I did, not what I believed. What I believed was worthless if I didn't do this. No matter how much you believe. I got up out of bed. And I went through the whole things of shaving and everything. And I can tell you this day, I remember standing over the sink shaving with like this. With my head. I'm thinking, oh my God. And I'm shaving. I'm going to work. You know? And I'm thinking, you know, but here's another thing. What I want to think, I want to grump and moan. And I thought, no, I can't be doing this. No, I want to wake Wanda and tell her how I feel. Why don't you take care of me, honey? I ain't bad. If you love me, you'll look after me. Oh, I know. There's always whiners in the group that do that. You know, they got to be patted and petted every time. Don't come to my house. I slap people. Knock it off. Well, I don't slap you. She won't put up. That's why I learned I don't ask her. She'll say, shut up, Ed. Go over there. She's a good lady. She's smart. But I did that. But I'm not, you know, I was going through the thing. I got myself dressed. But I started noticing. I started feeling better, a little better. You know, I got in my car, and I was in my car. I'm like, ugh. But as I drove to work, I just improved. Until I got to work, every symptom had left. I was just completely fine. Over the years, I have done this so many darn times. That's what happened when I had a heart attack. Ended up getting healed. Just, you know, the cardiologist checked my heart and said, you have a heart of a 45-year-old guy. Well, it wouldn't have been said then. But I learned how to apply when everybody else. I learned how to take that action. When you believe something, if you're not going to act like it's true. It's number one, you know, sometimes all you can do at certain times in action, but you got to get it on your voice. Number one thing, what you believe you need to get saying. You need to say it. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. See, I believe people come, well, what about you? Well, you look like you have a problem. Well, no, this is what I believe I have. I'm not telling you, you might look at me and say, hey, he's limping. You don't look healed. I don't care, but I believe I am. I'm going to say what I believe, not what you see. Faith is not about what you see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What you want is the unseen to come to you so you have it in the seen. And you ain't going to have it, faith. You must first stand in faith and do the faith thing before it shows up. Everybody, I've had people do this over the years. How many times? You know, they say they're believing God for healing. And then you say to them, then they turn around and they get better. And they say, well, God healed me. When you get healed? And they say, well, you know, yeah, I got healed last night. I got feeling better and that stuff. And say, well, faith, I got healed as soon as I believed that I was healed. That's when I received it. Bible says, what you believe you receive, you'll have. See, when I believed that morning, I realized what I had to do. I had to believe I received healing that morning when I crawled out of bed. I had to believe I received it at that time, not sometime down the road. See, and somebody say, Ed, when did you get healed? I got healed when I said I believed I received it that morning. That's when I got it. That's when God said it belonged to Ed. You see, no, we look at it the fact, when I feel better, then I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe it worked. It doesn't work that way. Wisdom, God's wisdom don't work like that. This is why we're so contrary to science and everything else. People say, well, your stuff don't make sense. It makes perfect sense to me. It has worked and it's worked. You know, I've gotten miraculous healing with a torn ligament in my foot. I've had more miraculous things happen. And the Lord told me this probably about 10 years ago. He spoke to me and said this to me. He said, the reason you've seen such miraculous things happen is because, you know, I do sort of wild things. My actions, because my actions are extreme, he said. So I found out when you act extremely on the Word of God. Now, you know what? I wasn't acting extremely concerning what the Word said. I'm acting extremely towards society, what people do. I've had ministers tell me I'm too extreme. Yeah, I get healed, they don't. Yeah, let me alone. You go ahead. You go ahead and do it the way you want it. I've done it. This is working. You know? That's like the guy that's selling pictures, you know, for, you know, $1,000 a shot, and the guy over here never sells a picture, says he needs a new camera, you know. Say, no, you need a new brain. That's what your problem is. But this is the world. This is the way the world operates. Even most of the church world operates in this manner. We're operating in a place that is strange. We're believing things you can't see exist. I never saw Jesus on the cross. I believe something I didn't see. I believe it's true. Most Christians, they don't believe no more than Jesus died on the cross, because most of the time they will never operate in the areas of faith. They always operate in the areas of seeing. They can only operate on what they see. You know, well, if the whole group believes Jesus raised from the dead, I'm going with it. That isn't what makes it work. That's not what makes it work. See, I believe what the Word of God says about it. And I know Jesus died on that cross because I know Christ in me, the hope of glory. My faith God has risen up me. I got born again. I was transformed from death unto life. There's something that happened to me through that faith. Believing those things that the scripture said that were unseen became seen in my life. The first thing that Wanda said, when I got born again, and when Wanda did the seed, I believed, and by faith, I accepted Christ. It absolutely, you know, I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see anything. I accepted just what the scripture said about him. And I made him Lord and told him that I was going to follow him and do whatever. Wanda wasn't a Christian at that time. She wouldn't get saved. But when she did get saved, I asked her why she got saved. She said, I'm living with a different man. Why? My life transformed. Why? What I could not see, I believed and acted on it, and it changed me in this life. I didn't go to AA to try to get off alcohol. Whom God sets free is free indeed. I was set free. But see, I was told that there's the way that things work. Today we don't. Today we preach 12-step programs, we teach psychology, and we do all this stuff. So we're stuck operating in those places. We're stuck operating. We can't expect miracles. You never went down to an AA meeting and they have miracles there, where people get miraculously off drinking. No, they spend their whole life going to those meetings trying to stay away from booze. Now thank God there's people that are doing that, but there is a much better, a higher way. Thank God that things make, but they struggle. I worked with a guy who was in AA, and how he would struggle not to drink, and I tried to talk to him. He wouldn't pay no attention. I said, well, you must have not really been an alcoholic. I said, yeah, you asked my wife. I was really an alcoholic. I mean, just but see, he's trying to do it, and here he does. He just struggles all the time. I mean, he's at work just doing it, and he has to call one of the guys from AA's with, you know, because, you know, every tense thing, stuff happened, you know, he's going to want to drink. God, there'd be a better way than that. You know, I told him about a way it's better, but he didn't want that way. And you know what? Wisdom is going to mock him. We didn't go through reading the whole thing, but you read the whole way down through there. Wisdom will mock you. When you got wisdom come to you and then you end up in a mess, wisdom's going to mock you. You were told. Yes. Uh-huh. It will. It isn't God saying to you, it's wisdom. It's what you heard is going to come back to you. What you knew to do and didn't do, it comes back. How many times have you ever done that? Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew. And what? Wisdom comes back and says, hey, stupid, slaps you. Don't blame somebody else or God. That is your own inner man saying, wake up, space cadet. That's what it is. You heard, you knew, you did. You didn't follow wisdom. Yeah, but I'm smart. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion here this morning. But I want us to understand, you have great success. I mean, we want this resurrection of Jesus Christ to profit us. We want it to profit us. And we're going to do that with the communion this morning. And I want you to, as we prepare for this, when we take communion, it's a very interesting thing. Everybody looks at the things of Passover. I would recommend you, I taught on Wednesday night, I would recommend you to go listen to that, what I taught on Wednesday night about Passover and stuff, and it's different as you told. We talk about what the Bible says. So, you know, in reality, Jesus didn't die on Good Friday and raise from the dead. It didn't happen that way. In fact, Jesus and his disciples never did take Passover because Jesus died on the night of Passover. He died and was taken off the cross and put in a grave before Passover started. I mean, the scripture even tells us that. So he didn't eat Passover. And we need to understand, our communion service is not Passover. But something else you need to understand. We take these communion elements. We do this. Jesus Christ, excuse me, if we look at what Jesus Christ did after his resurrection, when Mary Magdalene saw him in the garden after his resurrection, he said, don't touch me. He said, I haven't ascended to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. I haven't ascended yet. Jesus ascended, and the scriptures tell us what he did. He took his blood and into heaven, it says, into the holies of holies, and on the mercy seat, he put his blood to make an eternal redemption for all of us. That's what he did. And this is really interesting, because I know that our Passover, see, the church follows Passover, and we're supposed to follow the new covenant. And the new covenant, what we're taking here is not Passover. Because if we're going to follow that, then we couldn't have Jesus taking his blood into the holies of holies, because he'd had to wait till the day of atonement. He'd had to wait till the new year come in, the next new year come in, because that's when the day of atonements took place, in the beginning of the new year. But see, we have a covenant. Ours is established on better promises. Jesus became the Passover lamb. Jesus died when the Passover lamb were being slain. When Jesus died on the cross, the Passover lambs were being slain. What they did is they took their sheep. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people would have been down at the temple with sheep. And they would have been in there lined up in three lines. And they would have been going in there, and you would have took your sheep in there, and you would have cut its throat. And the Levite would have had a bowl, and he'd have caught that blood, and he would have poured it on the altar. You see, the blood of that lamb was poured on an altar. The blood of our lamb wasn't poured on an altar. The blood of our lamb went to the holies of holies of heaven to make an eternal redemption for us. That's where it went. It went into heaven. See, we have a different covenant. We can't follow. See, we keep trying to follow their days, everything with their days. You need to pay attention. God has made us, we have a separate covenant. These elements of this covenant, this is what we're told to do this. Under that, they never practice. Once a year, they would practice and do the elements of the killing the sheep, eating the sheep. Passover was done. We don't. We can do ours at any time. Our covenant's completely different. Any time, any place, our elements go. So it isn't tied to Passover, is it? You can do it whenever you want it. We don't have to wait to the beginning of the year. Our redemption has been completed, was completed immediately right there. It was took place on that resurrection day is when Jesus was raised from the dead. That is the day that our atonement, not on the cross. Cross Christianity needs to stop. We need to go to resurrection Christianity, because that's the day. The greatness of that day was this. Jesus Christ took his blood and went into the holies of holies of heaven. And that's where eternal redemption was made at that time. See, we need to get this, we need to get ourselves fixed over. Hallelujah. This resurrection day would have been nothing if he wouldn't have done that. If he hadn't taken his blood into the holies of holies. The eternal redemption was made. It is settled in heaven. When we take these communion elements, this is a settled thing. We're not trying to get something. This is about what we got. Hallelujah. We're partakers of Jesus Christ. We're partakers of his blood that's put on the holies of holies. We've been redeemed and set apart by God. That's you. That's us. That's the Christian. That's the believer. That's what's been done to us. We're not trying to get good or get cute. We're reminded. He just said this, as often as you do this, this is to remember me. Woo! He said, remember me and feel real bad about it. No, we ought to get excited when we remember him and stop and say, my God, look what he has done. He's made us partakers of him. Hallelujah. We're partakers of his body. We're partakers of his health. We're partakers of his victory over sin. Hallelujah. It's just, we're as victorious over sin. We've been made the righteousness of God. You haven't been just made righteous. You're as righteous as God is, the Bible says. How could you have the righteousness of God and not be as righteous as God? See, that's crazy thinking to this world. Religion can't think like that. You know what? My thoughts aren't that good, but I believe it's true, and I'm going to say it. I'm as righteous as God is, because the Bible says I am. It says I have the righteousness of God because Jesus went into the holies of holies, because I'm partaker, and we're reminded today, reminder of him. Oh, him, Jesus. Glory to God. That's him. See, we can get excited about it and haven't even taken it yet. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, as we approach these things. God, you give us wisdom and understanding on how much you love us and care for us. What you've done for us is so extremely, incredibly, it almost seems crazy, and it does to humanity, but Lord God, we love hearing it. We love hearing about your greatness and all that you did for us. Jesus, what a master, what a Lord you are. We're just so thankful for your great love for us. Lord Jesus, what you were willing to do so we could have the blessing of heaven in our lives. It's incredible. And I just want to say thank you because, Lord, there's not really words that could be said that would ever be enough of thank you for what you've done. But Lord God, you know our hearts towards you. My God, you're incredible. And we thank you as we take these elements today. We're reminded of your great love and mercy and kindness to us. And Lord God, Jesus, in doing this, we just declare you're Lord. You are Lord of all. Hallelujah. And Lord, we're going to do what the word says. We're going to do this till you come, or either we come to you. One of the two. Hallelujah. But one of the, we're just going to keep doing this, reminding ourselves of you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.